talked a little bit about last week about Passover and preparations and everything. And so what I wanted to do, as we're just going to continue with this theme all the way through, probably till Shavuot. So anyway, because it's the whole season, I'm going to ask Terry a question. Terry, I'm assuming you were born and raised doing the feast. In other words, whenever you were born, was your mom and dad doing the feast? No? Okay. So how old was you when you did your first? 8 years old. Okay, so I want to use Terry as an example. At 8 years old, he was studying Passover, Shavuot, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, which is Sukkot, okay? Now, we've been doing it since 87. And I ain't going to count that many years. So that's 2 years we've been doing it. I know. So when you're teaching about Passover, and you've been doing it, and if you've been in this for a lot of years, it's the same teaching pretty much. There's always some spiritual aspects that we grab out of that, always. But here's the thing. Passover is a feast and a festival, as you well know. And I'm sitting here and I was praying. I said, how do you make this fresh for somebody who's been doing it since they were 8 years old? If you think about it. But there's a lot of us in here. This is probably our first year, second, third, or fourth year. And so it is definitely fresh. There's so much to learn in it. And then I got to thinking, Terry, as we have been teaching about Hanukkah and Purim, I thought about this. And then we went to see this movie. And when we saw this movie, how it really impacted me in a way to where people that were learned in the scriptures, and then they become into history and archaeology, and because they couldn't reconcile something, they become agnostic. And I said, well, this is sort of supposed to be about faith somewhere in here. Because faith is something that you don't see and you have to believe it. And so they're you know, arguing, okay, discussing, debating. I don't mean it in an arguing in an ugly way, but they're arguing or they're debating about, did Moses write the Torah? And I said, well, I do know this. According to the scriptures, whoever wrote it, let's just say right there at that point, who wrote the Ten Commandments? Yahweh did. And he wrote it with his what? His finger. And whatever that language was, Moses read it and he understood it. Now, I'm a simple person. I can't get locked down. But I just know that whatever these tablets and whatever he took down off that mountain, they understood whatever that language was. And he was able to convey all of this. So what am I saying? What I'm saying also is this. Casey, this might be for you. How many people do you might know that's around your age that may have went to college, maybe knowing about Jesus, about knowing Yeshua, and then when they graduated, are they following, are they not, they hadn't darkened the door of a church again? Because of what's happening is people, you would think when somebody's raised in church all their life, from before 8 years old, like I was drugged to church all my life, as I've testified. But I've gone there. My mom made sure that I was there. Daddy ended up going later, and I'm glad of that. But I was in church, Brian, all my life. And there's young people in church all their life, and they go to college. And they go to college, and it seems like it is their mission to demonize Elohim and to change and turn your children from the faith to where they will not believe. I'm just saying. Okay, liberal professors. I do know this for a fact, being raised Baptist. I had great friends that went to the seminary in New Orleans. There's a seminary in New Orleans, theological seminary. There's one in Kentucky, and there's one many places, Dallas, there's one. And I had great friends that were youth ministers. I was 18. They were like 18 plus 2 years. You know, they were really just out of college. We become good friends. One of them's a minister now in Laurel, and you know, dear friend. But here's the thing. They done a survey. When they went into the seminary, 100% believed in the virgin birth. When they graduated from seminary, 50% believed in virgin birth. Now this is seminary. This is not Yale or Harvard. You know what I'm saying? This is a seminary that's what they're there for. 100% believed that you had to have faith in Yeshua as the Messiah. In other words, death, burial, and resurrection. And I forget what it was. It was like 75% only believed that you had to be saved by professing in faith in Yeshua as the death. Now, this is a seminary. And this is one of the most conservative, basic seminaries that you see what I'm saying? So the Father was ministering to me. This is why we retell the story every year. You retell the story so you don't forget, and so I don't forget. Because if you don't have this branded in you, you will forget. Because Israel forgot, because when Alexander the Great came along, he Hellenized the region. The Greeks came. And when the Greeks came, they put in a replacement. That's right, their language. They changed the language. They started Greekizing it. If you want to put that, that's not a word, but we'll let Keith work that one out. But I'm just saying. And so they Hellenized everything to where you read in Acts, you'll see Hellenist Jews. That's there. What it is, it just means that they're Greeks that bought into, there are Jews that bought into the Greek system. And then came the Romans. The Romans come in, and then by the 3rd century, Constantine rolls in, and he says, there's no more Torah. There in this time, don't do the Torah, don't do all of these things. They changed, and now we have what we call replacement theology. That's what they've done, Greco-Roman. Replacement theology is what happened. And you would sit here and you would try to think, how does this happen? But it happens. And it happens because we get lazy in saying, you know what? I've heard that story before. I've heard that story before. Well, I can tell you what. I know kids that heard that story for 18 years and went to college and are atheists. Now, you tell me how somebody in 4 years can wipe out 18 years of you and family and trusting in your mom and dad. And you know, how does somebody in 4 years erase? What they do is they instill doubt. Because guess what? This is by faith, guys. This is by faith. I will stand here and I have told you over and over again, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't know everything, but neither does everybody else in the world. That's why it is a faith walk. There's things that we know. I believe in this word. I believe everything that this word says. If I don't believe in everything this word says, and look, if I can't find a piece of pottery somewhere that's got a certain inscription on it, I can't help that. Because I can know, I watched this movie, and I'm going to tell you, it was really well put together, and I watched him afterwards. I watched this guy. Like this guy said, he's very respectful on both sides of the aisle, you know, letting them say their part, because what he's doing is he's trying to let everybody say their part, and then you make an informed decision. And I really appreciated that, because he didn't walk in here and say, you have to believe this because I said this. No, he laid out the facts and he laid out everything. It just amazes me, though. And so I wrote down some thoughts. Passover is the story of a nation being born out of Israel. Do you know that Israel was not a nation before then? They were a people, but they were not a nation. They went into Egypt, how many? 70 or so? If they did, that was probably the smallest nation I've ever known. You know what I'm saying? So they're sitting here, they go in here, but there was, it took time to build this nation, but there was a promise gave to Abraham. And Yahweh took a man Abraham, and he gave him, and he said, in you, all of your seed and all the nations in you will be blessed. Guys, this is where we fit in somehow or another. If you are not naturally born of Israel's bloodline, you believing in Yeshua gave you a blood transfusion. Amen. We are grafted into this tree. Our identity is there. And so I wrote this down, and here, identity leads to destiny. Our identity leads to destiny. What happens is, Passover is about remembering and memorial. It's about redemption and freedom. And I wrote this, without a past, there's no future. And what I mean by that is this, if you lose who you are, where are you heading? What is the end goal to all of this? And this is what happens when these young men and women go to college and the liberal professors of the world who are anti-God, okay, anti-Elohim, they instill this in here. They're erasing this. Because if they can erase your identity, you lose your destiny. It is huge. Because now you're going through life aimlessly. Sarah, Sarah, was that a thing? You know, I'm just going through. Sarah, Sarah, there you go. I almost got it right. But you see what I'm saying? And so this is why we retell this story over and over and over again. And we're going to tell it. And we're going to read it. Because now I'm really realizing, because you know what? I wasn't raised with the story. I was raised with Easter. I was raised with a basket and colored eggs and some of the best tasting chocolate Easter bunnies you'll ever eat. Amen? Them dudes are good. But I would just tell you, that's what I was raised with. We would go in and we would hear a story. We would go in and we would hear about the resurrection, and it's all about the resurrection. But as a child growing up, it was more about the basket and all the presents in the basket. It was more about going out hunting an Easter egg that was hid out there because maybe somebody stuck a $10 bill in one. Believe me, in my day, they didn't stick a $10 bill in there. It'd be like $100. You see what happens? It's all of this replacement that's happened. And then all of a sudden, there's an awakening that started happening in my life and in Tammy's life years ago about it. Really just in their life, because my brother, who was Worldwide Church of God, challenged me on some things. And then I just, you know what? I'm at the age now, I think I can prove him wrong. So I started with Christmas. And I started there, and I said, I'm going to prove him wrong. So I just, without getting in all of that, I just picked a sacred cow, and I just went after it, you know? And then when I said, but you know what? I know what he believes. But really, I don't know what I believe. I know that when he was born, and I'm getting in. So then I started getting into it and coming to find out I couldn't hardly find anything biblical about that day. But boy, I could see a lot of other things about the other things of that day. So I didn't have that meeting with my brother. So instead, I had a meeting with my pastor, which was her dad. And I said, man, I got a problem. I said, you need to help me here. Because to me, her dad, who was our pastor later, he was a very wise man. And to me, he knew everything. If it was in this word, he knew it. That's the way I looked at him. I was young, and I mean, he was very knowledgeable of the scriptures. I never seen anybody pray as much than he did or ever read as much. But what I'm saying is, then when we got to study, and he said, oh yeah, we'll tackle this. So we go in here and we look and it's good. And I said, he said, you know what? You going back offshore, let me do a little research. So I went offshore for 7 days and come back, and he said, we got a problem. I said, we got a problem. I said, don't tell me that we're wrong. He says, I'm telling you, we bad wrong. And he said, we got a problem. Because you know what? People take it for granted. They just hear and go and do, hear, go and do, hear, go and do. You just do. Because you know what? Replacement theology, they retell a story. And they retell a story, and they retell a story. And you know what? We don't research. We just buy into the story, and we take off. And there's not a lot of substance in the word for it. There's a few scriptures that talked about the birth of Messiah. Yes, hallelujah. And he was born. Amen. But it just wasn't like they said it was. Because you know what? The people who started this in the third century had to erase our identity. When they erased our identity, they was erasing our destiny. But Yahweh is doing something and he is restoring now. I said this before. Before there can be revival, there has to be restoration. Because how in the world are you going to be revived? What are you being revived to? The same thing that you keep dying from? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know what? I ate strychnine and it liked to kill me, but you bless God, he delivered me from that. And I'm going right back. I done strychnine. Well, you know what? It started killing me again. I don't understand. And that's what we do. We revive every, you know, 6 months. We go to revival. We get revived and we go back to the same poison. And the Father, somewhere or another, there has to be an awakening. There has to be really a restoration. There has to be a restoring back to the original. You would think after a few dyings and revivaling and dying and revivaling, we would probably figure out what's going on here. Why are we... In this word, it tells us, Rachel, you're healed in Yeshua's name, girl. I'm telling you, we have the blessings of the Father. Because we have the promises that if we will do what he says to do, we can claim these blessings. And we have to claim them, though. That's what we have to do. We have to claim them. And we have to grab a hold of that and we have to believe it. Because when you do, something happens within this body. It starts transforming to do what the Word says it's supposed to do. But guess what? There's something called sin. And sin destroys your body. It will destroy your spiritual body and it destroys the natural body. If you don't believe it, look at me. Because I'm getting older. I can't stop the process. It almost drove Solomon, and it drove Solomon mad almost, trying to figure out the wisest man in the world, but how can I stop this process? I'm getting older and older, and I'm trying everything under the sun. What can I do? Guess what? At the end, that's why we read Solomon now at Sukkot all the time. Because why? Because you get to a place when it's all said and done, follow the Torah. Follow the Torah. Everything else in life is vanity, it's emptiness. That's what he's saying. And so for us, guess what our life is? But what we end up doing is we buy into what's new. What's the next new thing? Because I'm telling you, I ain't even going to get to a scripture. But I'm going to tell you this. When I was in the charismatic movement, I loved it. I want to tell you I loved it because it set me free and it done its job. It helped me think outside of the box. Okay, I had a denominational box I was in. Because I'm telling you, when I met Tammy, I was a Baptist and she was Assembly of God. And like I said, when we prayed, only one person prayed at a time. They didn't all of them burst out into what was going on. I thought it was an auction. Man, I tell you, I'm sitting here at the moon and they said, let us pray. I said, okay. And I mean, everybody broke out into prayer. And I had one eye closed and one eye open. And I had one eye on the door because I didn't know what was going to happen in this spirit-filled place. But I'm telling you, when I first went there, I was like, man, this is... And I asked her, I said, how does God hear it? How does he hear everybody's talking at the same time? I mean, that's how weak-minded I was. I mean, I'm talking, I come from where it was reverent. You know what I mean? You hush and listen. We're trying to talk here. He needs to be able to hear us. Not thinking that he can multitask. Isn't that something? That was where I was at. The thing is for us, I just really feel that the Father has really blessed everybody in this place. He's blessing people all over the world because he is restoring all things. Guys, he is restoring us back, whether you're Jew or Gentile. And we're going to see in here once we get to these scriptures, there's one law. For the native born and the sojourner, there's one law. There's not two or three different sets. I know that they have some that have one law for the Jews and the Noahide laws for the Gentiles. It never says that in the scripture. You know, the restoration back in the 1500s was a great thing. It was a great thing because you know what? We started slowly finding our identity back. We started slowly because we were starting to be able to get the word. Then the 1600s came. The Reformation is still continuing. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But they did what they needed to do in the revelation that the Father gave them at that moment in that time. And it's been a slow awakening ever since. And then I thought about something. I said, you know, how old is America? 1776. Yeah, 1776. Did you do the math? 242. Final answer? Do you need to call somebody? No, I'm with you. I'm with you, babe. Okay, 242. I'm with y'all. I don't know. I can't add or subtract. 242. Does this side agree with this side? Amen. Okay, 242. 242 years old. And our nation really thinks it knows everything. It's only two. We ain't even out of diapers yet. Do you see now the government fighting? You see all of the socialism and all of this stuff? Look around the world about socialism. It has never worked. And it ain't going to work. Now, it may work for a state, but it's hard for it to work for a nation when you got 50 states. Brian, you tell me, does any state agree with each other? Absolutely not. Look at all the different laws. You got one state here. We did the heartbeat law, right? In other words, if there's a heartbeat, you ain't killing the baby. I wish they'd get all the way back to you ain't killing it at conception. But they are. But see, they're going now from abortion and they're working their way backwards. Number one, guys, us being a Christian nation, how did we ever get to abortion?
That's right.
Do you know how we got to abortion? Because we wouldn't deal with adultery. Amen? We wouldn't deal with adultery. That's why we got to abortions. Because you know what? They started, you got to watch in Hollywood, you got to watch in all the stuff. Do you remember you lose your identity. You're being taught something. All you young people, you might as well not even worry about this part. For all of us that are older, you tell me that you ever, Humphrey Bogart, y'all know who Humphrey Bogart is? Okay, and Rock Hudson and James Stewart and John Wayne and all of them, all of y'all know who all that is. All you younger ones, y'all are totally clueless. Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney, okay. Have you ever watched a movie that they wasn't smoking a cigarette? They were always smoking a cigarette. And the women. They picked up women's rights. Back in the early, when the 20s and 30s, the women were smoking. Everybody was smoking. I was like, what in the world is going on with all the smoking going on? But it was an agenda. They were doing because they made it popular because they were trying to sell. And you had the big advertisers were cigarette companies that were funding the movies. That was the advertisement. And so what do they say? What you see, what you see, what you see. Monkey see, monkeys do. Okay, I'm just saying that's what happens. It gets in us and we start doing. You see what happens? And this is why it's important to retell this story. Because if we don't keep retelling the story of Passover every year, every season, doing it, walking it out, getting the leaven out of our house. We have to do the Father gave us physical things to do that has spiritual value to it. He gives us physical things to do. What do? We want to replace and we want to get a wristband and say, what would Jesus do? And then because we're wanting to do something. Do you know what? He's given us plenty to do. He's given us plenty to wear. He's given us plenty to identify with the tzitzis. He's given us plenty to do, but we say, well, I don't know about all that. Yeah, I ain't, you know, that's strings. People think my got a ravel. No, the thing is this is what the Father tells us to do because there's spiritual value to it. Telling us to do unleavened bread, telling us to do bitter herbs. He could have left the bitter herbs out for me, guys. Because Mo Lisa, she's going to make this nasty horseradish, and I'm going to eat that stuff at Passover to understand bitter herbs. And some of you guys cheat because y'all like that nasty stuff. So somehow or another, we need to come up with celery for those who don't like celery. No, I'd rather have the bitter herb than the celery. I just thought about that. I better hush. Man, I've just dug myself a hole. But I'm just saying, but bitter herbs, but it was to show, what is the bitter herbs to do? It's just a way of showing the bitter bondage that they were in Egypt. But do you know what it's to show for me and you? How bitter sin was for me and you. It was to show that bitterness was in sin. Have you ever been an alcoholic? If you ever had addiction, yeah, that's what the word I'm... If you ever had an addiction, guys, getting out of an addiction is not easy. I mean, there's no pixie dust that you can do and Tinkerbell flying around and spraying stuff on you. You know what I mean? And things are just going to be better. An addiction's real. And it will take the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver you from that. And He can do it. He can, and He has done it. Amen?
Amen.
The problem is because when you get older, and I've seen this happen, and I'm just telling you by experience of seeing this happen with good friends, whenever they would be delivered, had a testimony, would walk out things for years, and then you know what? They just grow weary in doing good, I guess. Because we didn't know what to do. We didn't have the Torah. We didn't have anything to measure, and eventually they would just slip off that one time. And then there they were. They were down in that addiction deeper than they ever were before. I think there's something in the scripture that says whenever your house is clean of a demonic spirit and it's swept and clean, if you don't fill it with this word, seven more worse than that will return. There's a reason why that's in the scriptures, because it's telling us that, look, we are people. The Father doesn't leave us without a way to clean up our lives. He cleans our lives. He has a way to do that. But we have to apply it. But when we don't like what He says and we don't want to do what He does, I mean, to me, I don't understand. I'm just being honest. I don't understand in the flesh what a boiled crawfish is going to. But you know what? He does. He does. He knows what He designed for food and what He didn't design. That's what this is all about. It's about principle of design, and it's about obedience. Because do you know, when I went through, and I've told you this story and I won't go through it, but Leviticus 11, when you go through the food laws, I mean, the first time when I was young, I was too embarrassed to tell them that, well, this is the way God told us to eat. No, I said, you know, Yahweh knew what would keep us healthy. You know what I'm saying? I just brought out, I pulled the health card. But you know what? The health card's not in Leviticus 11. It's pure obedience. And then I kept going down through there. I said, well, Father, why do you want us to do that? And it was one of these, because I told you so. He doesn't give me a reason why. He doesn't go and explain it. Because sometimes as parents, we get on our children and they say, why? And we say, what? Because I told you so. And that's what it spoke. There's some things in Scripture from commandments, it's just, and I told you so. Because He wants to know if we're going to believe Him or not, if we're going to walk out His ways. So with this Passover season, I just really, remembering is a commandment for us to do. Because it says it will be a memorial for how long? Forever. Forever, it says, teach your children. And when your children, we'll get to the scripture next week maybe. But they asked, why do we do this? And it says, oh, I'm glad you asked. And then you are to tell them the story, because we all have an Egypt that we had to come out of. We all had bondages in our life that we had to come out of. The travesty is this. The story doesn't end there. It really doesn't even begin there. It began before they even got there. Because the story keeps going. But when they go from Passover and they go out of Egypt, they go into the wilderness. And how did that work for them? Cost them an extra 40 years in there, and a generation died out. So what I'm saying is, this is a process in our life of coming out of bondage. Because guys, whenever the children of Israel was in Egypt, they were slaves. They were slaves. The moment they left Egypt and they walked out of Egypt, they were free. But you know what? They were only free in the flesh. Their mentality wasn't set free yet. They still thought like slaves. This is what these stories are about, is to not only, look, I'm a believer in Yeshua, but do you know a lot of times I'm a believer? Why can we believe Yahweh for a headache, but we can't believe Him for cancer?
I got something that's been just sitting here on my heart to say.
Say it, girl.
Especially, I don't know, some of you younger people, Ruth.
Amen.
But
Pastor Mark's got his story of how he came to the truth.
Amen.
Okay. And we're to remember. So I have my story. Do you hear Yah speak to you? If you don't, you're not going to have your story. To remember that when doubt wants to tell you lies and creep in, that you, do you know in your heart who you are identified with, that you are a child of Yah? Because you know you've heard his voice, okay? Nobody else can do that for you.
Amen.
You have to take your time in your quiet and just talk to him. There's somebody here. You need to hear yourself and know for yourself, because when he answers, there will be no doubt. We all need our own Passover story.
Amen.
We all need to remember the truth. And one of the things that puzzled me for a long time was, why would God kill his son?
Mm-hmm.
That just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he kill him? There's no other example of that.
Mm-hmm.
How can that compare to a lamb?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. Why would God kill his son? But I realize he was wounded and he was cut off so that we can be grafted in. Because
Amen.
You talk to Mr. Arnold or anybody that's done any kind of gardening, you take a really strong, healthy rootstock and you cut that off because you can get better fruit somewhere else. And you actually cut that off. You cut off that stump and you wound the bark, and that new branch gets stuck into that new bark just at the surface, and it will get lashed around really tight so it grows and it becomes part of that root. And that is why he had to die. That's why he had to be wounded. For those of us who are not natural, who are sojourners, who are not Jewish, it doesn't matter, because we're grafted into that rootstock when we allow him to redeem us and place him in him. You guys got to know this for yourself. It's not Mark's story, his salvation story. It's not my story. You guys got to know and have your own story and know in your heart. And then nobody can take that. Then you will know your identity. And then there is freedom.
Casey's got right here, Tam. Will you take the Casey? Because like she's saying here, here's the important part. Everybody in here, just because you go here, you will grow up. All you young ones, you will grow up. You have to make Yeshua your lamb. He has to be your lamb. He is the lamb, but you have to make him your lamb. You have to be, and you do that, you're part of the story. Yes.
I was talking to Mr. Arnold about this past week. But one way that they influence us as young people is, you know, there's different social platforms. You got Twitter, Facebook, Reddit. Well, one thing that happens, I see this every once in a while, and that's why I've gotten rid of all of those things, is what'll happen is there's a lot of things that'll be on the front page, and the reason they're there is because they're upvoted. They're the most popular things that are on the site. And you look down, one will be 15,000 upvotes, 14,000 upvotes, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have ones every once in a while that will be, you know, 1,000, 300. They're really low, but they're still on the front page. And these things are the ones that are recently have been pro-vax, pro, you know, transgender, mm-hmm. gender stuff.
That's right.
All of these things that are being pushed. So this is, it's like planting a seed, and every fifth or sixth seed, you plant a weed.
That's right.
And that'll happen. And that's happening across the social platforms that I've noticed. That's why I got rid of it.
Amen. Well, all right, so I want to say this. For all of you, how old are you now?
25.
So for you guys that's around, you know, from your, say, 22, 23 years old to your 30s or whatever, you guys need to sit down with these younger ones about this social platforms. Look, I don't have Facebook. I even hacked myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about all of that stuff. So I done away from it. So, I mean, I don't have it and all that. I don't tweet and or any of that stuff. I don't know. But the thing about it is that is highly important. What you guys know. You girls, you young ladies that's in college, you know, up at Ole Miss, and then you got in the doctrine and all. It's very important. You're here for a reason, to be able to share your story with these younger ones too, to know. Because I'm telling you, I've been there and done this. And I know, believe it or not, I was 18. Believe it or not. I mean, it was the Civil War, but I was 18, okay? You know, and I didn't get drafted by General Lee or anything. But here's the thing. The thing is things, the tricks of the devil, no doubt change. But the message is the same. It's about sowing. It's about planting seed. And I like what he said. You may get a good seed, but then there's a wheat. And then a good seed, then there's a wheat. Well, that's all it needs is some tares to get in there. Because once it starts growing, the whole pattern and the principle of the scripture is, if you go to pull up the tares, then you're going to damage the good. So then it just had to grow together. And then you would know, because I done a teaching one time and I showed you wheat and tares. They look exactly the same. The head looks, everything looks the same. It's just when the wheat matures, it gets heavy and it bows. But the tares have no substance. They're up here, here I am. And they're like, uh-oh. You know, that's how you know the difference. Because to the natural eye, unless you're really a farmer, you don't know. I'd go in a field, I couldn't tell you. You know, there's things I've looked at in a garden, and they would tell me that's whatever it is, and I'm like, they ain't no way, because, I mean, I eat this stuff, and it don't look like that on my plate. But it is, you know, just this comes out from under the ground. All I'm saying is this, it's very important, because social media, and he's right about all of the things that they want to promote, they want to promote to you to where you will buy into the system of, I don't even know how to say it, LGBT, whatever, it goes on, Q, something, okay, all that. Y'all left out the Q? The Q. It's going to be the alphabet for us over with. You know, you young people that are now a little bit older, for the young people, it is good for you to be able to speak into their lives, to be able to speak in their lives the dangers of social media. Because it is out there. I don't fool with it. It's to me, I just don't. I know it can be a good tool that can help advance the kingdom in some areas, because it can do that. I'm good for that. I understand that. For me, I like the wrong thing. I push the wrong button, and it ain't good for me. So, because I don't know what I'm doing. Yes.
Everybody's got an identity crisis today. And when Steve came up and shared a few minutes ago, he was talking about, and Leah said the same thing, is that people don't even know who they are nowadays.
That's right.
And, I mean, in the last, I never would have thought I would have seen what's materialized in the last 5 or 10 years in my lifetime.
Amen.
I tell Ava, I feel like I've crash landed on Mars. I don't even recognize the world anymore. But we've got to live here. Anyway, hold the mic for me. Colossians 3:3 says, okay, from the ESV, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Meditate on that.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, we're all lost. It's like being,
we're exposed.
It's like being put out on the ocean. Somebody knocked out your rudder, your navigation, and then it went dark. That's where our culture is today. And Yeshua said, you know what? I died so I could give you a way back. I'm the bridge. And today, it's amazing to me that he's the last thing that anybody even thinks about.
That's right.
I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and I hit the magazine rack as I walk in. There are 500 magazines for every distraction under the sun.
Amen.
Not one on him. And I'm thinking, this is the author of life. And what this scripture is saying, you come to me, and whatever your dreams were when you were born, I will make you realize them. I just want to close with Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, which says that there were good works beforehand that I prepared for you to walk in. I had a blueprint for your life in my mind. And Steve said this well. If we don't step into that, if we don't become that work of art, there's an empty place at the table and in the heavens that we were destined to fulfill. But we lost it. And I'm thinking to myself, what a tragedy that is.
Amen.
The potential that he created in every one of us, and if we miss that, it's a loss for everyone. It's lose-lose.
Amen. Amen. Very good word. So we'll get into the scriptures next week. I really appreciate the input because, guys, you can't tell this story enough. Because I see the fruit that's out there. You know, I saw this one little, it wasn't really a commercial, it was something anyway, and this young lady, she went to bed, and she had her cell phone in her hand when she went to bed. And you're right, somebody had mentioned, you know, used to we had computers, and we had bag phones, and we had all of these things. Remember, had pagers. I talked about that a while back. But now that one phone is your computer, it's your desktop, it's your laptop, it's your phone, it's your pager, it's internet. Everything is right there in that little device. And if we're not careful, it will replace. I'm great with the Word of God being on there, and we've got apps on ours and all that, and it is good. But guys, this has got to be what you put in you most. I mean, it's really ridiculous to me if you're going to Facebook, and I just use that. If somebody's going to Facebook 10 hours a day and they do maybe 30 minutes of this, you know what I'm saying? Because whatever you're putting in here, and we talked about, these are gates, eye gates, ear gates, these gates we have, mouth gate, it's a gate. It goes in. It's where addictions can go in. I'm just afraid. You know, the Father's doing a restoration. And he's doing a great thing, but I see this world getting dark at the same time. And I'm talking about getting dark. And the real sad thing for me is this. I see people that profess Yeshua. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Hebrew Roots people. Has turned around and has fallen away from the truth. So it can happen, guys. Let your guard down. We've been talking about this. Adam didn't guard and keep. We have to guard and keep. You got to guard and keep your families. You got to guard and keep your families. If you don't, nobody else is going to. There's too much enemies coming in from different angles, different places. And what we can do is we can get tired. Now, we as families, I'm going to meddle here just a minute. We as families can get tired. And we can let that iPhone babysit for us. We can put on something, but you need to make sure what you're putting on that's healthy for your children. And you need to make sure that there's something on there that they can't go somewhere. Because like I tell Tammy, like Ziva, she'll buy an app. You know what I'm saying? She'll start punching these. They know. If you ever noticed that, Mark, get one of them kids. They know how to do that on the phone, don't they? But they have a safe place where they can get in what they can watch. And that's what you need to do. You need to be careful with this. Amen. That's right. That's right. And here's the reason why. I know y'all have something to say too. I'm glad. Yeah, this is a town hall. We'll just call this town hall day, okay? This is good. Because look, I'm going to tell you, this is why this is important. And he's right. And this is what this is about. The church has failed America. The church has failed it. We have failed. We failed. And what is happening now, because we've sat back for so long and we're afraid to do something because we don't want to be accountable and all of the above, then now you're going to be persecuted. And you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I grew up in a time, because I was younger, okay, I grew up during the hippie times when everything was cool, but except for going fighting for your country. But the thing about it is just slowly all of this stuff is really just turned, and I'm glad he said what he said, and this is what's happening here, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you lose your identity. Because when you lose your identity, this is my identity, guys. This is my identity. In this book, it says homosexuality is an abomination. This is my identity. The thing about it is, you want to take me to court? Take him to court. He wrote it. I didn't write this. But the thing about it is, but I'll go. If we got to do what we got to do, this is the thing. You got to stand for this, because it ain't going to get better. I mean, I wish I could sit up here and tell you that, you know, we're all going to have ice cream sandwiches of your own flavors. And all. It's just, the thing about it is this is why a community is so important. Because you can't fight these battles on your own. It takes a community to stand up and do something. You have to do it. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, real quick. I know y'all hungry, but bear with me. I was talking to Mark. I spent some time yesterday with some of the kids on a range. And I had to go all the way back to the basics. Me and Kelly, we spent a lot of time with the legend John Morosky. He's trained with SEAL Team 6, SEAL Team 2. He's done it all. And he always aggravated me when we got up to do an active shooter class. Here we are gearing up to go in to do scenarios, and he's doing how to grip your gun again. And it would aggravate me. I'd like, Mo, stop, dude. We've been doing this for how long, and you're telling me how to re-grip my gun? Listen, I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. What he's saying is, learn to regrip. We do it over and over and over and over, because listen, one day muscle memory will have to kick in.
Amen. Amen.
And when we do it over and over and over again, I promise you, I could blindfold every one of you and you could tie your shoe without looking at it.
That's right.
How? Muscle memory, Keith.
Amen.
Muscle memory. We constantly do it, Zeb, and we do it, and we do it until, guess what? I had these kids up yesterday, Hannah, Morgan, some of the other guys, just taught them how to grip. We went grip, we went stance, we went sight alignment, we went press. Unbelievable. New shooters. Unbelievable. Teach them right to start with. They had it all down. Right at the end of the day, I threw in a curveball. Now I had them running through an obstacle course with a charging target coming at their face. You can go look at their videos. Every one of them's grip was off. All I did was throw in a little pressure. They were used to shooting paper. Wow, I'm doing good. Now all of a sudden, the dynamics has changed. Grip's off, sight's off, stance's off, everything's off. What's going to happen? The enemy is going to throw you a curveball.
Amen.
So what do we have to do, Randy? Regrip.
Amen.
Every single day. Realignment. Learn it all. Go back to the basics.
Amen.
Let it become part of who you are.
Amen.
Eat it. Sleep
Amen.
It. Who said it several times?
Amen.
I ate the book.
Amen.
Huh?
Eat it.
We do
it Eat
over
it.
And
Eat
over,
it.
Mark,
Amen.
Until it becomes something muscle memory.
Amen.
In my sleep, I'm vigilant. Watchman at night.
Amen.
So no matter what's in my face, muscle memory kicks in before I even knew it. Huh? Caleb Merritt can change a mag before I can bat an eye. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, what just happened? Huh? You know why? Because he stood in front of that target and he has changed it over and over and over till he's the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy comes at us, guess what? All of the muscle memory comes back.
Amen.
And it's Torah, Torah, Torah. And guess what? That's how we win the battle, Mark Morgan.
Amen.
That's how we get up off the mat victorious.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Amen. Amen.